to the 4Jack Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Tour Trash Sundays presented by TaylorMade Golf. We are fresh off Cameron Smith's commanding come-from-behind victory at the Home of Golf's 150th edition of the Open Championship, St. Andrews, Scotland. What a day. What a leaderboard. What a major championship to close out the 2022 season. But before we get into it, let's head around the country and say hello to the fellas. D-Lane, welcome back to this side of the world. How you doing, buddy?
You know, we were just talking about this earlier. I am beat up. It has been one hell of a run. I know we're talking to John Dooley, kind of talking about the Irish recap, but 18 days in Ireland, 17 golf courses, 16 days, throwing a member guest, the solstice. And yeah, I'm not sleeping a lot. We're running on fumes, but one of my favorite sayings is if you lack motivation, at least embrace consistency. So right now, consistency is about all I got. I'm going to give it my best. And, you know, I feel a little bit like Rory right now. I think I got a lot out of the last couple of weeks, but it wasn't enough. So hopefully the two of you can kind of help me limp to the finish line today.
Love it. Brisson, what's going on in your world? Birdie juice hat. I like that. Repping the sponsors. How's it going, buddy?
It's good. Derek's complaining, but 17 airports in 21 days. So these bags under these eyes are real. I have the kids all week. Benny had Golf Canada skills, which is just an absolute joke. Golf Canada should be ashamed that they put their brand on that, but that's for another day. He's at Drive, Chip and Putt in Detroit this week, so we're doing that. But ultimately, the British looked awesome. Lots of ties to Scotland with my previous life and my good friend Gordon Sherry. So nice little day today. Never bet against Cameron Smith, clearly. Right, Paul?
Is that an official apology, Briss?
Oh, it's not an apology. It's not an apology. If he's smart, next time Jordan tees it up, you know who wins. So
I guess so, yeah. Like, as it happened last time, it was the tournament après the major that Spieth came back with some vengeance. What a leaderboard today. I think I was pretty impressed with the golf. The comeback on the back nine kind of was the storybook we were looking for. The sort of the drama wasn't folding in the last 2 to 3 holes, which is sort of typical at the Open Championship, especially at St. Andrews. But man, it's a young field, a bunch of studs. I mean, golf is just in a fantastic place. This is awesome.
I'll say this. I think golf's in a fantastic place in the future. I think Rory needed to get it done today. I think the golf world wanted to see that happen. I don't know how many times he's going to get, you know, a shot at it. He's an incredible golfer, but, you know, he seems to be right there on Thursday and, you know, kind of hangs on and just doesn't seem to get it over the line. And you know, he's probably got 7-8 more majors if he can just kind of make one or two more birdies on Sunday. And, you know, incredible talent. At the same time, I think the golf world was rooting for Rory today. But I think Cam Smith, I think the quotes kind of made up for anything that you know, Rory would have or would not have done, because I think the 40 beer and mathematical equation was kind of priceless today. So,
yeah, you know, and I think the one thing that we're missing a little bit was Victor shooting 74 was really a surprise to me. You know, I had Cam playing well in the PGA and he was, you know, he won this one. I had Hovland winning the US Open and he won, you know, he was close here. And I think that that group of young players is absolutely where they want to be. You know, I think my biggest thing today was I actually thought Rory putted it okay. I thought he lagged it well, which you have to do when you're as long as he is on that golf course. But sometimes I think you take birdie out of your hand when the golf course plays as short as it does for a lot of these guys. So, you know, when Hovland kind of laid back and then I forget the number of the hole, excuse me, but when Rory ripped it and he putted, I think you're just basically taking 50% chance and lowering it, where if that's a wedge and you play it a little differently, I think I think sometimes you embrace, you know, I just spent 17 days across in the same conditions. And I don't think I touched a 60 degree wedge the last 11 days because it just doesn't come to fruition, but these guys are so good. And I just really looked at one of the things I saw today was Siwoo Kim. I thought handled the irons really well. He kind of, he used the greens and he used it well. And then I watched Cam and I just think some guys get hot. And the thing about St. Andrews, when it's flat and it's playable, it's whoever has that kind of imagination in touch, the birdies are there. So 64, 64, right? I'm not sure that the world wouldn't have wanted a little wind. I think that Rory definitely would have wanted some conditions. I think that would have favored him a little bit more. But, you know, as I watched the highlights and watched Cam putting around bunkers, and the touch was there all day. And I think I wanted to see a charge from Rory. I really was surprised that, Hovland shot 74, because you really don't have to chip it much, right? Which kind of plays to his strengths. That being said, you can't take anything away from that mustache, that hairdo, whatever that kid has inside. There's some guts there, because he played 17 like a champ. And after that, I don't think you could do anything else, right? You can hit it as hard as you want on 18. That'll be one, and probably to me, that'll be the sign when they had that driver behind him and he was looking up at the 18th green in the crowd, and he hits that great drive, and that's probably what's going to be going forward. But I think what David alluded to had a lot to do with it, right? I think the world needed Rory. Obviously the PGA Tour wanted Rory bad. You know, there's still reports that Cam thinks about Liv. And to be honest, you know, I spent the last 3 weeks in Europe, Liv is a much different subject over there than what we've been talking about here. So outside of Chambly, who I think tried the hardest today to win the tournament, even though he wasn't playing, I'm really happy. And if Brandel goes away for a couple of months, I'm probably going to be okay with that too. I think the end of it today, when it was him and Paul and Lerner standing on that green, and Chambly, he just wants to fight. He just wants to be antagonistic. And whatever thesaurus he reads, and he puts these big words in that make no concept thought, right? It's just, look at me, I'm this guy. And it's like, I actually thought it took away, and they kept watching Cam Smith. I don't know if those watch the Golf Channel walk around with the jug, and there has to be a comment for everything, right? I think sometimes the golf could be the comment. I think Cam put an exclamation on that. All he did was just play and didn't say anything, which I think Rory could actually learn from going forward.
I like the fact that you mentioned that, because I think McGinley is going to knock out Chambly one of these days. I've seen them on the commentary a few times now, and they go at it a little bit. And I think McGinley's kind of backed off just because he knows it's coming from Brandel. But Brandel just needs to piss off, really. I mean, it's exhausting now.
It's too much, right? It's too much. It's like David in airports, right? It's just too much sometimes. And the way I think about it is, it's like, you know, he's just the golf version of Stephen A. Smith for the American ESPN crowd, right? It's loquacious and this, and it's these great big words, and it's a plethora of opportunities, and he did it. It's like, you know, just shut the fuck up and let these guys play, because I don't know why we have to give so much credence to him. And I think even Lerner distanced himself. Like, you could see the body language. Like, even Rich is like, dude, like, it's not football. This isn't the NBA, right? We don't have these talking points. This is a gentleman's game, and it's the 150th of the Open. Like, let the surroundings and let the golf course and let the fact that that dude shot 64 and let all these things come out and be happy for these guys. But I just, maybe I'm missing it, you know, with Shipnuck and these guys, and maybe it's a ratings boom, and maybe they're all behind it in the scenes laughing at us, but I just don't understand where Liv was part of today's conversation. I just don't think it was. And I think it actually took away from a lot of it. And if Cam goes, who cares? I mean, you saw Dustin, right? Like, you know that dude is just checked out. That's talent, right? He was in the top 15, top 20 because of talent. And he didn't care. Now, we're all going to say, well, of course he cared. It's a major. But look at these guys. You know, it's Spieth and Cantlay and DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, Fleetwood, Hovland. I mean, you're talking the who's who. And we're making these fake points and these huge observations about, does your left heel come up? Like, who gives a shit? And it's like, I really thought that the Golf Channel had a huge whiff today. I know that Brandel tried way too hard. I think it actually took a little bit away. And I think Rory and Brandel, probably the two losers today, but I feel bad for Victor. I hope he comes back, because I love the dude. I love that he looks like he's stoned every day. I love that he just plays hard and he just doesn't care, right? He's got his own way of playing, which I just think is refreshing.
Do you think he won? Like, he did shoot 74 today, but I think he hit in some spots Friday and Saturday that cost him 6 or 7 shots that, you know, I think he was trying to beat up on the golf course and saw some opportunities. And, you know, for those that have played St. Andrews, it's like, oh, there's no wind. Then all of a sudden your ball's in the air and it's moving 60 yards left or right. And I think he just hit in some spots that just cost him, you know, beyond the 74 today. I think, you know, he's watching the leaderboard, and I just think some of the mistakes are made earlier with Hovland, but at the same time, I don't know, that tournament, that golf course, everything about, you know, some of the real estate that's happened there in the last, you know, seven, I guess, years since last time I was there. You know, the evolution of, you know, 18-1 is great. You have that big patio above the new course, which is some high-end condos. You have that new hotel that was redone. I think, you know, it's becoming a marquee, not that it wasn't before, but, you know, it's becoming one of the, you know, bucket list things like the Masters. Tickets are still, it's insanely expensive, like the U.S. Open, all these golf tournaments now. But I think some of the hospitality and some of the, you know, corporate world is finally coming to St. Andrews, which is kind of cool, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, and Colin Donaldson, who's a good friend and a friend of this show, who is part of St. Andrews Brewing Company, and then he's got a travel company there. He and John Boyne are the lead caddies. You know, he always told me that once Kohler redid that hotel, that it changed the thought process, right? So we all know if you're going to go to Trump Turnberry, you're going to have an absolutely probably glorious day. So there's going to be a marquee. And now with that Old Course Hotel and the amount of stuff to do in St. Andrews, in the fact that they can support, you know, I just think the rich get richer, right? I thought that they did a great job today. You know, I think it's also very similar that when you head to Edinburgh and, you know, you've got Berwick, you've got all of those golf courses that you can stay downtown and you can get out there within a half an hour. Like, I think the accessibility is so different because we stayed at some amazing hotels in Ireland, like the Europe Hotel or, you know, the property at Doonbeg that Trump owns now. And I regardless if you like his politics, if you want a place to stay, if his name's on the hotel, you're going to want to be part of it because it's first class the entire way. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, that I think the UK and Ireland are definitely opening up to the experiences. You know, even Port Rush a couple of years ago, right? When you're up, you know, you're an hour north of Belfast, but now there's all these great B&Bs and these great little hotels. And, you know, we stayed at the Merchant in Belfast. That probably was my favorite hotel of them all. So I think the infrastructure is being built to continue that ascension. And I think you're right, David. I think that it was huge today, that not only from a golf standpoint, from a corporate standpoint, I don't think it gets better than that shot. Now, I'm not the biggest fan of 18, especially if it's a blowout, because nothing can really be done, right? You're never making more than four there. But that being said, there is just a boatload of history, and you've got obviously the hotel and the clubhouse and all of the things that accompany it. And I think that the great thing about that is that when you go back 40, 50, 60 years, you still see those same views, right? And I think it really ties in well to the history of it all. And you saw Jack break down and Tiger break down. And, you know, I think only truly Augusta has that power other than St. Andrews to make people feel like grown men or kids.
Well, I'll say this for our Alberta listeners. There always used to be a Canadian flag the last 20 years on 18. And Jim Kinnear, Calgary Golf Country Club member, owned basically a condo that was about 4,000 square feet. In that patio, he put the Canadian flag and he would host. And now you have that all the way across. But at the same time, there was always like that Canadian flag, which is kind of the irony and all of that. But now it's just changed so much. And, you know, I know Jim used to bring all kinds of corporate oil and gas guys and stuff like that. And now you have, you know, 20, 30 different locations. I know that they ran a Screaming Eagle at the new hotel there on last Tuesday. There was an American group that spent $300,000 on Screaming Eagle. So I got that text. So,
hey, by the way, did you guys hear about the guys that bet on the Golden State Warriors and then parlayed it into a boys trip? So a group of guys put a bunch of money on the Warriors to win the NBA Finals. They won, and they took all the profits and they put into this unbelievable bucket list, go to the Open and play golf. And they all wore jerseys today and had their pictures taken. But I thought that was kind of a cool idea that they all threw some big money in a bucket, bet on them, and then they took the winnings and absolutely just blew it out in St. Andrews. So congrats to those guys.
Maybe that's something we should look at doing for next year. I think we have enough insight and knowledge into the game of golf that we could probably throw some bets down at some capacity and maybe come out on top.
Cam Smith. That's the top tens, right?
Throwing that to you, Briss. Love it. I gotta say, like, overlooking the fact that the conditions were super benign, the golf course was seemingly playing pretty easy. Cam Smith, like, five birdies in a row to start the back nine. Neither him nor Rory made a bogey on the day. It was a battle of the putters. I mean, Cam Smith just seemingly rolled it in from everywhere. And I guess, like you guys said, a little bit of wind, maybe a little bit of something might have changed the trajectory of the golf tournament, but what a crazy day for these guys.
Yeah, and I think that as David said a little bit earlier, you really want Rory to win, but if it comes down to a putting contest, Rory's probably not the favorite, right? So that's probably just the way it is. Now, as they alluded to on every time he hit a shot, that his driver is the monumental weapon in his bag. I think with Wynn, that plays differently, right? You know, Cam hit a couple of shots where he just avoided a couple of chip out bunkers and he did well and he got the bounces. And I think that the grassing, you know, obviously Rory being from Northern Ireland and Cam being from Australia is a little different. As an American who just spent a lot of time in Europe, it's really difficult to get used to the speeds. It just is. And, you know, it's probably one of the flatter sets of greens in the Open at that part of it. It's the undulation in the fairways and leading up to the greens. So nothing really got away from them today other than the road hole. And I just think when it comes to a putting contest, I think Cam, he's right up there with one of the best in the world. And I think that showed today.
Pretty exciting to see that four major championships are in the books for 2022. And it's all 20 something year olds that have captured titles this year. Amazing. One guy that really stands out to me and somebody we haven't really talked about is Cameron Young. This guy drives it to whatever, 15 feet on 18, rolls in an eagle for an opportunity. He's been knocking at the door, just some unbelievable play by him, and 7 under in a final round with 2 bogeys. I mean, this guy could have shot 9 under par the final round of the Open. This is just insane. This guy is so good, so underrated. I guess somebody to keep on the radar moving forward.
He broke played the back tees at St. Andrews when he was 13 and broke par. So just goes to show. Played with his father as a PGA professional. And, you know, this kid, I think he's been known in the golf world for a lot longer than maybe the average consumer of golf. I think he's just one of those kids that's dominated AJGAs and USGAs, and you know, it was no shock to get to the PGA Tour. I believe he went to Wake Forest, and you know, good player there. So
I think he's a kind of the next version of Xander. Honestly, I think there's a lot of similarities there. I think that underrated a little bit coming through the NCAA is obviously a boatload of talent, but kind of realizing at that level that you can get it in the fairway, and from that point, you know, once he's in the fairway, he's pretty tough to beat. So, you know, Xander's obviously had a great run. I see a lot of similarities in their golf game. They can make birdies and buckets, and they don't make a lot of mistakes. They're kind of quiet, right? Great parenting, both head athletes. One was, you know, obviously a decathlon. The other one was, or excuse me, a decathlete. The other one was a golf professional. So I think there's a lot of lineage thought process there. But the thing I like the most about Cam is he's just not afraid to bash it, right? So those guys now, I mean, the hips clear, the face is square. They just don't care because they know they're not hitting it sideways. Yeah. And I think when a bogey comes, it's more about mental state being a little amped or being a little over aggressive now. You know, and I think that's one of the things that really was parlayed at St. Andrews is these guys, those who were swinging it well, there really isn't a lot to miss. The heather was pretty browned out, you know, and we were the last 6 days in Ireland. I mean, the caddies were melting. It was high 70s, low 80s. It was flat. And, you know, I knew that it was going to get baked out because they had the exact same weather. So, I mean, when we got to Old Head, which was 82 degrees and sunny with no wind, no clouds, like it was bizarro, but it was already browning out, right? You could just see the fairway starting to get fast and that sheen on them. So think about the lack of water that was at this golf course. So I was really surprised at how thin the heather played. Only saw a couple shots, like Cam hit it in the gorse, that one shot. That's really the only thing that got away from him. But I do think that as we get more data and as superintendent's technology gets better, you just see these guys continuously have the best canvases in the world to do what they do best, right? And so I think in the end, that's always going to be why this tour and why these championships are so great, is because I think the best will always want to play on the best. And I think Parks, you and David said it a couple of weeks ago, we're going to find out how much people really care about the golf courses they play with this new events and this new tour, because nobody's going to give a shit about going to Beaverton, Oregon very often, but if it's for a lot of money, they're going to be fine with it. So I really do think that as we go to Liverpool next year, and we've got some amazing golf courses in the rota for the US Open and for the PGA, I think it's going to come down to that, you know, and we've beat it to death about what we need to do for Canadian Open and for Chinese Open and for all these opens and all of these things and these great golf courses. But I do think that there's a lot to be said for what Cam did today. I also think David hit it perfectly on the head when he said earlier, like, these guys are just going to continue to excel. And it seems as though Rory, you know, Xander had to get past it. It seems like Rory just doesn't, I don't know. I don't know if you have 180 in the bank, if it changes life. I don't want to be judgmental because he's playing in that last group and I'm not, but there just seems to be something that since Tiger, you just don't see the next stepping, wanting to win whatever it takes You know, I mean, instead now Phil shows up in a t-shirt. It looks like he went on a 36-hour Coke binge. And these guys are just, you know, it's like they're just crazy. Like Lowry looks like he hasn't done anything but go to the bar. And it's like, it just doesn't seem the same to me. And it's like Rory, you know, Justin and Jordan and a lot of these guys weren't at their best. It just seemed like Rory should have run away with it today, especially Victor shooting 74. And I'm very surprised that 70 was the number. I mean, he didn't play poorly, but I really would have bet a lot of money that it got done today.
Time for a caddy change, Rory, or maybe you change tours and you play in a 54-hole event where you don't have to worry about that last day. Anyways, besides the point, one thing we haven't touched on, again, and this is kind of one of those, I don't know, standout sort of tear-jerking moments, was Tiger Woods. What happened to Tiger? This was really hyped up, and man, we kind of talked, D, and his feet aren't landing in the same spaces as previously. He's got no sort of hop, skip in his jump anymore. He's in pain. He's hurting. He's a rough go. And he played horribly, like opening with a double and then just was a car accident after that. Ha ha.
Yeah, no pun intended. Well, I think the fact that Nike hasn't made him a shoe tells you about the future of his life. I believe that with all my heart. Like he looks like he's old. They're reporting he takes 3 ice baths a day. He has to do all of these things just to be upright. You hear people talking, but you're going to tell me that he could turn it over. You're crazy. And I think this is one of those instances where the cut just isn't the same as a hard draw, you know, and you're playing links golf, you need the roll. And he looked slow. He walked slow. His putter was slow. It's just, I don't know. I remember my dad always told me that Walter Payton in the last year was tough to watch because he had such a high revere for what he thought was the best running back in the NFL. It was really, he said, difficult to watch somebody not have the greatest year. And, you know, we're all of the generation where we remember Pebble Beach and we remember Masters. Hell, we remember Torrey Pines on a leg, right? I don't want to see this selfishly. I just don't. While I know it's great for the game, I think the game's in great place. And I think it's because of him, you know, and I think that's probably why I will always be so disappointed in Phil and some of these guys, because I think the mantle could have been easily passed in a different way. But I don't want to see what I saw this week. And it would have been better for me if he just waved goodbye at the bridge and did his thing. And if he wants to play at Augusta, then he can do it for the rest of his life. And if he feels that, you know, an open golf course like Liverpool or Rhythm and St. Anne's and some of these, it might be a little flatter walk. If he can come out and compete and see what he's got, then great. But I know I don't want to see him at the memorial like this. I don't want to watch it. I want to remember what I remember selfishly, you know, but again, what can you say? He's earned the right to do whatever the hell he wants, whenever he wants it.
Yeah.
I'll say this, the game of golf, the old stewards of the game, Rory McIlroy, 33 years old, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, 27, 28. Golf is, Phil didn't win a major until he was in his 40s. We got 20 more years of these guys still left, and it's all because of Tiger Woods. And these kids grew up idolizing him, that, you know, ability to stomp on someone's neck, you know. Those guys have that when they're, you know, we've seen it with Justin Thomas this year. We've seen it with a bunch of those players, but that's all because of Tiger. And you know what? I fully echo everything you said, because I think it was tough to watch. I am a little shocked that, you know, he didn't stop on the bridge and, you know, spend a little time there. I'd hate to be Homa and some of those guys, but at the same time, you know, the superstars of the game that have been superstars for the last 5 years are still in their late 20s. These kids aren't going away. And there's just another generation coming up that are, you know, equally as good. And they're going to push those guys to get better, just like Tiger pushed, you know, a bunch of players underneath him to get better. Mike Weir probably wins 5 majors if Tiger's not there. We won't talk about Phil, how many majors he'd have and everything else. But at the same time, I think, you know, the golf is in a great spot, and that's all because of Tiger. Maybe it's because his tag was out on his vest. He just didn't want to have that.
But don't you think that the PGA Tour is smart enough to invest in what's young, right? So, like, obviously this kid from Oklahoma is killing it already. You see the Summer Hayes kid at Arizona State. Obviously, I'm surrounded by all of the USC golfers. I'm seeing what's coming in from Stanford. And, you know, and it's at this point where I think that the youth is all because of Tiger. And I think, David, you're exactly right. And I think I would rather see him in some sort of you know, like the best part about Tiger's week was when he and Rory waved at Rory's daughter, right? Like, or when he was giving Lee shit, when Lee leaned out the window and he asked him if he was playing that whippy ass driver. Like, that's what I want to see. And it's like, I know he's too big to be in a Chambly spot or a Feldo spot. I do understand that nobody, he doesn't have to travel and do that. But wouldn't it be fun if they did kind of a Manning cast or found a way for that humor, which a lot of people don't know he possesses, to kind of be filtered into the game so that you don't have to do it through play, right? Like, much like when Jack won at Augusta in 86, he didn't really do much after that. You know, Watson probably far more longevity, damn near won the British in his 50s. And, you know, Stuart Sink becomes the most hated guy in the world. And I think that there are certain people who are going to be forever, right? And I think with Rory, that's one of those golf swings that'll stand the test of time, much like Stuart Sink, Davis Love, you know, Payne Stewart before the tragedy. Like, there are certain people built for the long haul, but we all know that the power plant below the belt is not once at all what it once was about the thing that I can't talk about. And, you know, if he's in his rental car, he probably doesn't live. So I don't want to see him walking around like a marathon runner that's broken down and, you know, knees don't bend and feet don't bend. And it's like, it was really hard. And if you're Tiger, what are you thinking, right? Like, I know you think you can overcome anything, but my thought is like, if you're Justin Thomas or if you're Rory, do you say something? You know, it's not your place because he's their guy, but at some point, somebody's going to have a conversation. I'm sure it'll be Steiny, but at this point, like, I don't want to see that selfishly. I just want to remember what I want to remember. And it's like, you know, I remember all of the girls I wanted to date were tens, but when you see pictures, they were threes. And it's like, that's just the way life works.
Now, shooting 80 in a major championship, limping it in is not fun to watch. But I got to say, big kudos to Max Homa. He really tied it up in a bow, as horrible as it was watching this whole thing unfold. I mean, he was just a kid in a candy store having that opportunity to play with Tiger in a major for two rounds, watching him walk up 18 over the bridge. Like, really, really cool. And for us, it was a little bit catastrophic. Like, oh, God, this is painful. Just get him off the golf course, get the cameras off him. But Max did the classy thing, and he really tied it up with a bow. So shout out to him for sort of smoothing it over.
Yeah, but I mean, and you're stuck with that, but let's talk about Cam Smith and Fitzpatrick and Max Homa. And, you know, it's the roster's really deep. It's kind of like a Yankees or a Dodgers in baseball, right? Like, it just goes, and the farm system's great. And I know that, you know, it'll be at Liverpool and it'll be great. And, you know, Tiger, it's an easy golf course to walk, and maybe he'll be there. I don't know, but I would imagine, you know, David, you probably know better than anybody because of your relationship with Gordon and a lot of these great players. Everybody knows when they know. They just don't always have to tell you. And I think the way I look at this is that I hope he comes out and says, hey, you know what? I want to be a dad. I want to do my thing. I made some bad decisions in my life, and I think it's time for atonement, and we can rectify what I can do for the rest of it. And I think it would be an awesome thing to be spot play and really understand what it is he wants out of life, which life should be the key word, not golf to me.
Is he playing Champions Tour events? What does that look like? Probably not, right?
Well, like I said, if he could ride a cart, how much lower would his score be? I mean, is that really a true statement, right? Like, if he could ride in a golf cart, would he be six shots better over a four-day tournament? I don't have any idea because I still don't see the ability to turn the ball over with that movement, but I can't fathom, you know, it'd be like David going to all these airports instead of taking Uber, he has to drive his own car, right? Like, how hard would that be, right? It would be a bitch. And it's like, I feel the same way. Like, there's no way you can be Tiger Woods and be okay with the product that was this weekend. No, you just can't be.
No, for sure not. Yeah, 100%.
Well, your timing on that's very ironic, Derek, because my secret mission from Atlanta to Augusta via Uber almost ended with me not getting home because no one from Augusta would drive me back to Atlanta. So I might start taking my own car everywhere. That's fresh in the brain. 12 people said no. Confirmed the trip and then got there, waited 20 minutes, and they said no. But I have a question for you guys. I'm just going to throw this a spitballing right now. But does the PGA Tour need relegation? There's 90 players that are on a list that they play the whole year. And the tournaments like the RSM and some of these ones that are the Safeway, or, you know, there's 15 marquee events, the other 15, and you can play in, the other players can play down, but essentially it's 90 players that are playing for more money. The other guys have their expenses paid for, caddies paid for. It's more, but they're playing for $20, $25 million, and there's 90 players. you know, playing an event versus 144, but there's a whole list of other events underneath it.
It happens across every other sports platform out there.
Does this work though? Because I think the Corn Ferry doesn't do, the Corn Ferry does, has a lot of great players, as does mini tours across many different places all over the world. But if you had a pool of 300 guys that, you know, would be the cream of the crop, called PGA Tour Canada, Corn Ferry, and they could basically play on PGA Tour events, but they're maybe playing for $5 million, $3 million, whatever that purse is, but they're still marquee names, old guys, young guys, and mixing up. Does relegation work in golf?
Yes, and I think it's actually happening because just look at the Barracuda. You know, I think that you're going to start featuring that. I think you're going to do more of that the World Golf Championship stuff, and then you're going to have an option. So, like, the way out, let's take Charlie Hoffman, okay? Forever, never has missed a FedEx Cup, goes out first day, shoots a big number, then he doesn't back it up. Probably not going to make the FedEx for the first time. So, like, there's the perfect example to use the Premier League. Like, he's Everton, right? Like, he's just barely hanging on. And would it be better for him to go back down, get his game, get his back ready, do all the things that make him ready, and then come back for another run? I 100% think that we've talked about this, that we're going to end up with two world tours and both will have satellite events off of them, right? And once they settle this antitrust, which is going to happen, and once they figure out the pensions and all of these things, you're not going to be able to exclude people. The PGA Tour is going to lose this battle, in my opinion. And I think exactly what you're talking about, David, is going to happen. I think you're going to have a lot of these Barracudas, John Deere's, PGA, you know, maybe even the La Quinta Swing. Like, I think those are going to end up being those kind of those, I don't want to call them relegation, but they're definitely going to be these events that are going to be less than star-studded. So, you know, the purses aren't going to grow. There's going to be a sponsor. So, like, at that point, does Mercedes and IBM just take the big one and then the other sponsors each get an event and they run it the way they want? I think corporate dollars will speak that up. But yes, I think that you're going to have to find a place for certain people to play golf. And Gary Woodland's another perfect example, right? Struggling, won the big one, hasn't really done much. Like, he doesn't have a lot left. And if he doesn't turn the game around and he can't find the putter, then some of these guys are going to have to either figure if they've got too much money that they don't have to be relegated. Do they want to fight for it? Or do they have enough dough that they just don't care? Let's just take Ricky Fowler. You know, like, he doesn't seem to really be that worried about it because, you know, $60 million in the bank is probably enough to get by in life if you want to squeak it out. And I think that that's a perfect example, is the pride is the pride, right? And that's the one thing with the ego. And I think that in time, the ego is going to be set aside, because I just think that you're going to find this group of Rory and Victor and Justin and Spieth, and these guys are going to be this group. And then you're going to have the LIV group. And then where are everybody else going to fit in? You know, you need the Western Hockey League. You need to be on a bus and travel and figure it out. And, you know, it goes back to the Michelle Wee thing, right? Nobody taught her how to win. And now she's married to Johnny West and living at the Madison Club. So it is what it is. I just think that these guys want to get better. You have to find an avenue to play it. And I'm 100% agreeance with you, David, that the Corn Ferry is not enough. I think there's plenty of room between the actual PGA Tour and the Corn Ferry for these guys to do that. I think it's a great point.
And I always say this because I look at, and this is going to hit close to home, when someone like Jordan Spieth falls out of the top 90% or the top 90 players in the world, you're going to get a Jordan Spieth, a Gary Woodland, a Mike Weir, big names that are playing in that relegation that are still the draw. And I know I'm going to speak from a Canadian perspective. We always talk about how great the Canadian Open field is. No, it's a bullshit. It's average. They buy the top 20 players in the world. They get 18 and they hype it up. From 20 to 144 is just average. But I think if someone falls out, you're going to have guys that are trying to go through a swing change. They're going to fall out for a year and they're going to come back in and they're going to win. But I think what it does is it sustains careers longer. I think that you could have it all over the world. And those relegation events happen, you know, two in Canada, two in England, and those guys are going back and forth. And then you get bigger fields and more international fields, because we are playing an international game now. I don't know. It just seems very easy to me, but it seems, you know, I don't know how a Justin Thomas or Rory feels about not taking $150 million and knowing 6 months later they're, you know, essentially going to be back in those fields again. So I don't know. It's obviously they're thinking about different things, but I think the ability to sell not regional or national sponsorship and kind of take that esports or the Premier League approach. I think it works very well in golf, and there's so many good golf courses that, you know, that could host these events, and they don't need big, you know, TV crews, and they're following around four groups anyway. So,
well, I think you're perfect. I think you just hit it. I think today's current events with social media and the ability to broadcast on Amazon and all these things is the reason why it's going to happen. I mean, the other part is you called international game. Maybe it's time for some match play events, like true match play events, right? Like yeah. some things, because right now the Golf Channel, the data will show you that the college is beating the Corn Ferry. I mean, every week, every year, there's more college tournaments. And as a golf club, where you know, USC and UCLA just joined the Big Ten, first question I had, would you guys host a Big Ten event? We'd love to do it in LA. We want to be in the market. And I'm like, so I could be on the Big Ten Network at Rolling Hills and we could broadcast it. And suddenly I'm reaching more homes than the Corn Ferry is. So I think there's a lot to be said for that. And I think that you're right that there's a plethora of courses. I think there's a copious amount of people, and I think there's enough great players to suffice for all. And the only thing I think that's going to come out of the LIV is that Jordan and Justin, these guys aren't playing 28 tournaments a year ever again. Right. I think they're going to pick their spots because of the corporate money that goes with it. And I think you're going to see Justin and Jordan on Monday and Tuesday at their corporate events once in a while, and it's not playing for the PGA Tour to suffice the income. And I think that now suddenly that, you know, guys like, you know, as the Barracuda comes on, now suddenly you're going to have Harry Higgs and Maverick McNealy and all of these guys that are going to move the needle because you knew them from college or you knew the thought process. I think you're going to, I would much rather watch that than the senior tour ever again. You know, we all know how I feel about that, because that's just watching paint.
And include the senior tour in this relegation. Have those guys playing in fields. Have them, you know, they have veteran stats, whatever. Maverick McNealy, though, wealthiest guy on the PGA Tour.
Well, as we know at the Quarry, it was Maverick, Colt, Dakota, and Scout. And one of them had to caddy when their dad played, and they were probably the best-raised family of golfers I've ever seen. And you're right. I think you know Maverick could do anything he wants, but I would rather see him in the thought process of, like you said, perfect example. We're going to use the David Brisson idol, Stuart Sink. And Stuart Sink would much rather play in an event that's relegation with flat bellies than he is going out and literally having to watch red-faced Lanny Watkins broadcast and have to watch John Daly and these idiots just toured around in carts and just, you know, rewarded their bar tab at Hualalai than they are what they shoot. I mean, if Bernard Langer is going to anchor it and cheat for another 10 years, does anybody give a shit? Like, really? Does anybody care? So if you're going to have Stuart Sink and Phil Mickelson and these guys, you know, they Davis Love would rather go out and play against Maverick McNealy and Harry Higgs than they would go out and have to watch Jeff Sluman cut it around the golf course and think it's fun for television. That's just not what they're going to do.
Well, think about DL3, right? He told corporate America to stop giving his kids sponsors exemptions because it's not helping them. Like, talk about cutthroat. Like, right. This isn't helping my kid. Stop letting him play in golf tournaments. You know, anyway, he should wrap, but
he's made a cut on the Cantour, has he not? Drew?
Yeah, he won $150,000 last week in some event. Like, he's a great player, but dad said stop giving him exemptions. Yeah, like, stop helping
him out. Well, but the last thing to end on this is amateur sports are so strong in the States, right? And David, you understand with esports what people are doing now and how the world is changing, but amateurs are so good. And once you play for the NCAA, and now they've got this, you know, the letter of intent, and they can start taking name, image, and likeness, and they're going to do all these things. These kids are only going to be professionals faster.
Yeah.
So there's no way that David Pui is going to come into Arizona State and make it 4 years anymore, not with an NIL, right? These guys are going to make $4 or $5 million over the time that they're at college from these oil and gas companies, and they're going to get private plane access. And you know, I mean, just look at what USC's football program in 1 year of what it's going to do, right? So they're all conference realignments. You know that there's not going to be conferences in 5 years. There's going to be three super pods. And UCLA and USC are talking about building a building in Indianapolis so that when they fly to Rutgers, they don't have to come all the way back to LA. They can go to school and sleep. Then they can go to the University of Minnesota and play. Like, this is all going to change so rapidly that I think the golf's not any different. And I think that, as you said, there's so many good golf courses between Canada and America that I think you could play anywhere on any time. And I think now suddenly if one's on Twitch or one's on Amazon and you've got these, I mean, just think about the Manning cast on football. Think how much fun it would be to have these great guys in people who might just come in and suddenly Justin Thomas calls in and Jordan Spieth calls in and they're off for a week and they talk about their experiences. And you can do this on streaming television and watch it on your phone. And it's going to change so quickly. And because there's so many golf courses in good enough shape and being built the way they are for these tournaments, you know, just imagine, like, imagine somebody goes to, you know, Congaree, perfect example, CJ Cup's moving there, right? Because they just see it's such a different venue from a normal golf course. It's going to look great on television. But match play clubs and outpost clubs and all these clubs that belong and do all these things, you're just going to get more and more exposure. So why the hell not? I mean, you might grow the game a lot differently than what you thought it was going to be, but as long as it's growing the game, we got to get on board. But I think the excitement factor today, that immediate gratification, is way different than turning on the Golf Channel and seeing Charles Schwab and IBM commercials and literally watching Kirk Triplett just make another check is just not going to go forward anymore.
Don't hate on the bucket hat, D.
Hey, listen, that dude, again, I know Kirk, George Van Valkenburg, that dude has been an ATM for 30 years. So yeah. God bless him.
I love it. Great podcast today, guys. I got to touch on a couple of things here real quick. We do have the Milestones contest going on our Instagram page, giving away a ton of stuff from TaylorMade. We're not talking about tees and gloves and scorecards and hats. We're talking about sets of irons, drivers, golf clubs. We're trying to reach 10,000 followers. So make sure you head over to the Instagram page, check that out, get signed up and win yourself some TaylorMade swag. Really excited to head into the FedEx Cup playoffs here, wrap up season 4 on the Forjack podcast, heading into season 5. We have some massive, massive guests coming on the show. So super stoked for that. Big week for us next week. Gentlemen, any final thoughts before we sign off?
I only have one. Get Scott Van Pelt to be the lead announcer at your network for eternity and pay whatever it takes. That's all I want.
Not Charles Barkley.
I just think Van Pelt is the perfect guy to take golf into the future. And while I love what he does on ESPN, I just think that he just has a way. And Dan Patrick before him, you know, I know these guys like their schedules, but today's world of Zoom and being there, if I had one wish, it would be to get just better characters running an event and let's get rid of these idiots like Brandel and you know, nothing against Rich Lerner, but we don't need stock, right? Get Faldo, like we just need fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the Live, Dave called it a long time ago, the Live missed out with Twitch. And I really think that if I had a podcast and could do my own platform with you guys, I just think the world needs more guys like Scott Van Pelt and humor in the world. I just think it's far easier. And I'm such a fan of that Manning cast. And obviously we're close to Don. I mean, imagine Don Trail as an analyst. I mean, just imagine some of the stuff that goes into real and being fun, like Train and Burkhart running golf would be just as good as they are in baseball because they're professionals, but it'd be a hell of a lot more
Train
fun.
And Tiger. Train right. And Tiger. Like imagine those two.
Right.
There's a duo.
Right. Like it'd be so much more fun than what it is now. And as I age and we get into this, and believe me, you know, we kind of want Bob Kane yelling at me like he did at Chris, but there's got to be some movement, right? And I think that as Bob touched on the junior involvement, David, and you guys were talking about what you guys are talking about, leadership academies, I just think that's the wave of the future. And I think that there's going to be a lot of guys that be really good at that. And I'd like to hear their stories and not the same dribble that is the Chambly files of, hey, here's my Twitter account and here's my Instagram account. Let's talk about the same thing. Let's just fire people up and then leave them hanging. I'm kind of over it.
So Follows Out has 2 more events left.
Trevor.
I think the other dynamic duo would be Brisson Logan.
Oh my God.
Greatest pair of the booth.
You guys wouldn't be able to keep your hands off each other.
We don't need to see Paul cry. We don't need to see Paul cry on national television. We don't need to see that.
The great news is this will be good. This will be right around the time he's dropping off the kids tomorrow. Right. So,
and by the way, Christine would never let that happen. There's no way he's getting out of child care for the rest of life. That's not happening.
Fantastic. All right, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure as always. Look forward to some big guests this week and a busy schedule for us. Signing off from the 150th edition of the British Open, St. Andrews, Scotland. Fantastic. Thanks, guys. All right.